You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Ohio Business Machines, OBM. Preferred top year provider of the Cleveland Browns. Know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. Today in the on the Ohio Business Machine hotline right now, Scott Petrek joining us from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Scott, yesterday, first OTA practice, today the second for the Browns. Your impressions of what you saw, even though it's so early in the process yesterday?
Sure. Well, you know, it always starts with the quarterback, and you guys are talking about it. I was impressed with Josh McCown, and, you know, we didn't do a ton, but what I saw, you know, the size, the arm strength, you know, you knew he had it, but it's good, like you said, to see it live. You know, that's always the best way to judge a quarterback, and he had some zip, and he looks like a professional quarterback standing out
yes.
there. You know, and then Johnny, you know, I thought we saw some good, some bad out of Johnny, some balls, you know, wobbled a little bit. He threw some with some zip. He had the one pick six, dropped the fumble, you know, dropped the snap. But then he had a play where he slid in the pocket, made kind of a sidearm play, the improvisation that we're used to with Johnny. So, you know, I thought we saw some good and bad from Johnny and mostly good from Josh.
Scott, who else from yesterday's practice, as you watched, stood out to you as a first impression on the first day of OTAs?
Yeah, well, you know, it's, you're always trying to get a glimpse at some of the new guys. You know, I noticed Ibrahim Campbell from Northwestern. He was a shade late getting over on a double move. And it was a pass to Hartline, who Hartline went to the ground, made a nice catch. And then the secondary coach, Halfley, came up to Campbell and said, "You just hesitated for a split second, and that's what cost you." But he looks good running around. You know, Cam Irving, we saw him at the rookie minicamp, going up against only rookies, and we saw him yesterday. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of line against line competition, but he's a guy that looks like he's going to fit in pretty quick. You know, and then you saw the rotation kind of stuff. Scott Solomon got a lot of snaps with, you know, Mingo limited and Armani Bryant limited, and he was out there. Those are kind of things that jumped in my head right away.
What did you think of Dwayne Bowe?
Yeah, you know what? He showed up. You know, and, like, that's what you want from what your number one receiver. But I saw him make some catches. Most of them were the intermediate range when I was watching. You know, I'd like to see him go, or I think eventually we'll see more downfield passes. But yesterday, you know, first day install, it looked like a lot of underneath stuff. That's what they were focused on. You know, the first pass of the day was in the flat to the fullback. We saw a lot of that. And that's where Dwayne Bowe can help you, because the guy with that much size can break a tackle and can run after the catch, and he can kind of post up and pick up those third and four, third and five.
Scott, as you mentioned, the, you know, offensive defensive line can't you can't get a clear picture of exactly how good they are just in shells. But to take a peek at the running backs, both Crowell West, Glenn Winston had runs yesterday. Do you think it's Isaiah Crowell's job to lose at this point very early in the OTA sessions?
Sure. You know, we were talking about that on the sideline. Who do you expect to be the start of week one? And I say it is Crowell. You know, I liked him better than West last year, you know, and not that it was head and shoulders, but I do think he's got more talent. I think he's more athletic than Terrence. You know, I know Nathan loves him.
Yes.
So I think he's my favorite to be the week one guy. I do expect Duke Johnson to get a lot of playing time. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see him yesterday because of the travel issues, but I'm looking forward to seeing him, where he fits in. Is he more of a third down back? Does he get first and second down reps? What can he do in the return game? I'm really looking forward to seeing him out there.
I am looking forward to seeing Duke Johnson as well on the Ohio Business Machine Hotline with Scott Petrek from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Justin Gilbert, a guy that a lot of people are focusing on. What did you see from him yesterday?
Yeah, you know what? He gave up a couple of plays, but he also looks like he always looks the part. You know, not he didn't give up. He didn't only give up plays. I saw him cover guys. I saw him keep his eyes in the backfield while he was running downfield, knowing what he should be doing on a given play. You know, and every time we talk to Mike Patton about it, it's all about consistency. You know, I remember when you flash back to last year's training camp, watching Justin Gilbert, and I thought there was a 3-4 day stretch where he was the best player on the field.
Yep.
And then it went away a little bit, and we didn't see a whole lot of that during the regular season, and there's a ton of reasons for that. But if you can channel that and get that consistency from him, then just imagine what that Browns secondary would be like with Joe and Tremont and Gibson back there and Whitner. And the depth they're starting to have, if Gilbert can push Tremont or take that number two cornerback spot away, then that cornerback group has a real chance to be special.
Scott, Alex Mack not partaking in 11-on-11 group type sessions, but I wasn't out there yesterday for the early, the first hour of practice. Walk us through his movements. What did he partake in? How did he look in those sessions?
Yeah, well, you know, we walked out there from right at the beginning, and even before the stretching, they're working on field goal kicks, and he was lined up, I think it was left guard, in his normal spot during the field goal kicks. And then when they started the installation, he was right back in the middle, the same starting five from last year on the offensive line. And it was just good to see him back out there. Then they go to stretching, and anybody who hasn't paid attention when they're training camp or doesn't go to the everyday practice like we do, watching Alex Mack stretch is a sight to behold. The guy does it like nobody I've ever seen. He puts more effort into stretching than some guys put into, I'm sure, their off-season workouts on a daily basis. The guy sprints from drill to drill. He's just a pleasure to watch. And he was back doing the same thing. He looked fine to me. And then you talk to guys like John Greco and Mitchell Schwartz, said he's better than ever. They expect him to be back to the Pro Bowl form that he had before that broken leg last year. So, you know, we talked a lot last year about his loss and the, you know, the effect it had on the team, the negative effect it had on the whole season. So to see him back out there, I think it's nice for the rest of the offense, the offensive line, and then the coaching staff to know you have your, you know, the guy in the middle back.
What did you make of his comment saying that, you know, he doesn't really want to talk about next year, but if the team wins, that could certainly impact his decision to stay or go?
Yeah, I think that makes all the sense in the world. You know, Alex Mack is a smart guy. You know, he's got a different personality than a lot of people, but for a guy that works that hard, the end result needs to be winning. And he hasn't had that since he's been here. I think I did the numbers last night, and he's 32-60 or something since he was drafted. The Browns are 32-60, I think, or something in the ballpark. And that's not enough wins, you know, for a guy that works that hard. So to me, he needs to see this team heading in the right direction and not just taking baby steps, taking a step where he thinks that in 2016, when he would be choosing to stay, that they have a legitimate chance to challenge in the division and go to the playoffs if that doesn't happen this year. And to me, that's going to be the decisive factor, assuming he plays at a high level and assuming he stays healthy. That'll probably be the number one factor in whether or not he chooses to stay.
And, you know, you bring up an interesting point, at least it's just popped into my head. You talked about Alex Mack's record since he's been here, considered to be the best center in football. Joe Thomas considered to be the best left tackle in football. And yet the Browns still don't win two of the five offensive lines. And so, you know, you talk about building a team from the inside out, and that's clearly what the Browns are doing. At the end of the day, does it matter how good your offensive line or defensive line is? Because you can look at those Green Bay teams. What, were they down to their third center? They were down to rookie left tackles, undrafted free agents. It's all about the quarterback at the end of the day.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You can focus all you want on those lines, and they do matter. And it matters if Peyton Manning has that extra half a second to get rid of the ball. And those things matter, but none of it matters as much as a quarterback. And that's why I liked the Browns draft, but I didn't love it. And the couple of issues I had with it was they didn't add a quarterback to the mix. And maybe the guy wasn't in that draft, but at least I think take a flyer, because that guy has a chance to impact your entire franchise. As opposed to the defensive end you take in the third round, I don't think he has that chance to impact your franchise, especially the way a quarterback does. And Cam Irving, I think he's going to be a good player, and I like his versatility. But I don't know if you need a fourth high draft pick on that offensive line. I think you can plug in pieces on that offensive line, and you need to get some guys that are difference makers. And I think that a center is important, but I'm not sure it's the same quality of difference maker. I know it's not the same as the quarterback. It's probably not the same as a big-time number one receiver either.
Scott, my last question for you is, you look at Ray Farmer, you just talked briefly about your draft synopsis, but collectively, as you look at free agency and what we've added via free agency, and then again, the 12 draft picks, not necessarily a grade, but how do you feel overall the competition that we're going to add at many different positions along this roster and what that will do to drive competition and then also to drive a better product on the football field on Sundays?
Yeah, there's no question there's more depth on this roster than there has been, I don't know, probably since I can remember, you know, the last 5-6 years. There's way more depth. Ray talked about building from roster spot 31 to 45, and he thinks he's done that. And I think he's done that. I think he's created competition. I really like where the defense is at, especially if Nate Orchard can bring that pass-rushing impact that I felt they needed, and he had 18 sacks last year at college. If that carries over, then I think this defense does have a chance to be elite. The question for me is at the top of the roster. Do they get good enough play out of their quarterback? Do the receivers and tight ends support that quarterback enough and make enough plays? Because this team, I think this team's going to be in a ton of games because they can play defense and they should be able to run the ball. It's going to come down to, does your passing game make enough plays on third down and in the fourth quarter? And that remains to be seen, but I do like the additions of Bo and Hartline, and I think there's some quality depth throughout the receiving core. You know, maybe it's not as good as it needs to be at the top at number one receiver, but I like what he's done. And then quarterback is always going to be the big question mark. If Josh McCown can play at or a little bit above the level that Brian Hoyer did the first 10 games last year, then this team has a chance to compete in the division. If he doesn't, and if Johnny Manziel can't or doesn't step in and play like a number first-round draft choice, then this team will probably lose a lot of close games. I think that's what it's going to come down to.
It's going to come down to the quarterback play, as it always does in the league. And I think you're right. The roster is better than it was before. They're going to have a difficult time making some of these final roster decisions here. It's going to be some intense competition. But ultimately, the success or failure of this team will come down to the play they get from Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel at quarterback. Scott, appreciate the time. You can follow him on Twitter, at Scott Petrak. And we'll look forward to talking with you in the future as this offseason continues to progress.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, man.
All right, we'll be back with more of your phone calls, your reaction to what you've heard from Josh McCown, what you heard from Scott Petrak just there. 216-578-0850. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Now it's coming back. We can steal it.